Thank the Lord this morning for everyone that's here. Appreciate the Lord. Want to talk about a lively hope. A lively hope. We want to start in 1 Peter 1, 1 through 8. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, peace be multiplied. So this is a general greeting. This is something that he's saying to many different places, and he's trying to talk to them and going to give them some instruction. He's going to try to encourage them. He's going to be blessing them. So in the third verse it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. A lively hope. See, many, many people don't understand the lively hope. They don't understand how that we're looking for this inheritance, this incorruptible inheritance, that's reserved for us in heaven at the end of our life, this lively hope. We have the hope of living with God forever, throughout eternity. And it's not a dead hope. It's not something that's far off. It's not something that we're looking at and saying, well, it might or it might not happen. There are many people out there that feel like they don't know if there's a heaven. They don't know if there's a hell. They don't know if all these things could be true. But we know.
Yeah.
We know. And we have this lively hope in us. It's what keeps us many times going through it all, is to know that everything that happens here, there's a lot of things that happen that aren't right, aren't good, that we have to go through. But there's an end coming to it all. There's an end to where we're going to go back and be with God. God intended for humanity to live with him forever. And so we're going back there. We're going there to be with him. That's our lively hope. We know we have this inheritance. It's coming. And when we will not lose our inheritance unless we walk away from God. But otherwise, it can't be taken from us. Nobody can say it's not true. Nobody can say it's lively. It's alive in us. Yeah. We understand it. We know. Amen. It says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Mm-hmm. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Yeah. Oh, you see, this lively hope that we have, we're willing to suffer a little to get this. You know how there are a lot of people that will do a lot of things to get a good inheritance. You know what I'm saying? They may have an uncle or an aunt somewhere, somebody that's rich that they don't know very much about, or that they don't even like very much, and maybe they're old and cranky or anything. They'll put up with a lot to get that inheritance. They'll go and make visits, and they'll put up with the way they talk to them, and if they put them down or if they do this, they'll just smile and grin. Why? Because they're after that inheritance.
Right.
Well, see, that's what we're after. And we're willing to go through some things to get it.
Amen.
We're willing to suffer to get it. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, see, we haven't seen him in the flesh, we love him though.
Yes, amen.
Though now you see him not, yet believing, we believe, and we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Yes,
see, we have this lively hope. It's alive in us. It lives in us. We understand God's plan. We understand that he's drawing men back to himself. They've been separated, but he's drawing them back.
Yeah.
And he wants to give them everything that is good and pleasant and good for them. But we're in this world. And we're stuck in this world with all of the sin and the degradation and everything that has come forth in this world. And we have to live among this. It's hard. It's hard sometimes. You hear in the news every day horrible stories and things that are happening. And it saddens our heart, and it causes us to look around and say, you know, who can we trust? And who will befriend us out there? And who really cares about us out there? You know, it seems like they don't care. And you know what? Most of the time they don't.
That's true.
But we have a lively hope of somebody that does care.
Amen.
That has reserved an inheritance for us.
Amen.
And that all we have to do to get this inheritance is to live for him.
Yeah.
Oh, some people in our Sunday school this morning, we were talking about how God commands many, many things, but he doesn't demand it.
That's
true. See, he lays out his commandments.
Right.
It's your choice. You don't have to. You can't, or he will not demand that you do it.
Amen.
It is a free choice that he's given us, and it's a wonderful choice to make. And we don't really understand how glorious it can be. People look at religion and living for the Lord, they look at it as restriction. They look at it as rules, regulations. They look at it as taking away their freedoms. They won't be their own person anymore. They can't do what they want when they want. I mean, this is how they look at religion. What they don't understand is what happens inside of the man when he has salvation. They don't understand what a glorious place it is to live.
Yes.
Where there is such joy and contentment. Joy unspeakable. Full of glory.
Amen.
And that's what they don't understand. You can't understand it until you taste of it.
That's true.
And then it makes it all worthwhile. We are spiritual beings. And we have a spiritual place in our life that has to be filled. People are out there trying to fill it with a lot of things. They're filling it with all manner of things. Out there seeking somebody to love them. Somebody that will care about them. Somebody that will put them first. Somebody that will be faithful to them. They're people are chasing their whole lives to find a person to fill that longing that they have for that. But that longing can only be filled by God.
Amen.
Only by God. And when God fills it, and you have that companion and that friend, and you have that person that is there with you all the time, and understands you completely, looks down on you and says, oh, I know what you're feeling. You don't quite understand what's going on, but I understand it, and I'm going to help you. I'm going to send something your way to help you out. I'm going to send somebody to say something or do something that's going to help you out and help you to see it so that you can do something about it. He is so very, very good. And we have this lively hope in us. Because why? Because we have experienced it. A part of it right here.
Right.
When we get that place in our lives and our hearts filled, we experience part of the inheritance that is coming. But it's just a part.
Yeah.
Do you realize it's just a part?
Wow.
But there is something so much bigger, so much better, so much more all-encompassing than what we're experiencing here. And if this is that good, then our hope and our mind goes out and we can't even hardly fathom what God could be doing for us. It says in the 9th through the 11th verse of the same chapter, it says, receiving the end of your faith, even salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what and what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. See, the prophets of old in the Old Testament, they prophesied of Jesus coming. They prophesied that things were going to change. They looked for it. They knew there was a great change coming. There was something coming that was more than what they had. They didn't have a lively hope. They had commandments. That's what they had. They had rituals they had to obey. And it was all about being able to stay in the kingdom. It was all about that. It was all about, I have to do this or I'll be cast out, or I'll have to do that and be cast out. They didn't have something that drew them. They didn't have the inner understanding that we have today that draws us, because we understand that inheritance that's coming. We understand what is coming further on. And they prophesied about it, they talked about it, they looked for it, they even prophesied about how Jesus was going to suffer and die. They prophesied way back there that it was going to happen. Uh-huh. And so when he came and they were trying to figure out if he was the Messiah or not, the religious leaders of the day, and they said, well, does any good thing come out of Nazareth? Because that's where he was living at the time.
Right.
Because it had been prophesied that he would be born in Bethlehem.
Uh-huh.
And he was living in Nazareth. They didn't go back and actually look at their own writings, their own scriptures, the rolls and the scrolls that they had. They didn't go back and search diligently to see where everything about him and to be able to see what was happening and that it was all prophesied right down. They didn't do any of that. But we can look over the whole picture now. We are living now in the last days, where we can clearly look back through the past and we can see how God operated and did and brought man to the place that he is today. Right before the end, right before he's coming back to draw all men to himself. He's given us more knowledge and understanding than they had. And we're responsible, of course, then, for more. So we want to go to John 14, verses 1 through 3. It says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. This is Jesus talking. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Oh, this is such a wonderful thing. This is Jesus telling us about this future inheritance, this lively hope that we have of what he has prepared for us. We listen to his words. These are his words. And he said, I'm going to prepare. I'm preparing this place for you. I'm preparing it. And he says, many mansions. Oh, you know, we look at that and the words that were used to describe things. We all kind of know what a mansion is. We may not have ever been in one. We may not have ever, been invited to one. But we understand what they are.
Yeah.
We understand that there's something that most of us will never reach. But Jesus says, I'm making many mansions. Now, if we had the opportunity, if some rich benefactor were to tell us that I have this big mansion that I don't use anymore, and I'm going to let you, if you'll be willing to stay there and keep it up and live in it and make sure that everything is taken care of, and I'm going to give you all the money you need to make sure it's taken care of. It's not a problem. Everything will be supplied. I just need occupants. I just need occupants. There isn't any of us that I don't think would refuse.
Right.
But we would look at that as a pretty sweet deal. That's what Jesus is offering. That's what God is offering. I have this kingdom. I have this. I've made many mansions. I have this world that I live in. This kingdom that you know nothing about. You just get pieces of it. You just get a little here and a little there. I have this, and I'm offering it to you. All you have to do is occupy it. All you have to do is look in my word. I'm telling you how to get there. I have a roadmap. It's all in there. You, anything that you need to know, you can find it in the Word. In principle, if not spoken outright, in principle, you will find every answer to the questions that you have to be able to get there.
Yes, amen.
And he's saying, come, come. You know, I'm only going to do what's best for you here on this earth. I'm only going to lead you in paths that are good and righteous and good for you and everything else. Yes. I'm not going to let you stumble. I'm not going to let you get taken advantage of in this world by the enemy of our souls. I'm going to protect you from him.
Yes.
I'm going to show you his traps and his ways, and it's all for you. Just walk. I've got this path all lined out. Just follow down this path,
yes,
and you will get to heaven,
yes,
and the mansions that are there. In 2 Corinthians 5, 1 and 2. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. See, this earthly house, he's talking about our bodies.
Yeah.
Our bodies here. If it were to be dissolved, which all of them are going to be dissolved at some point, we have another building. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So when we're talking, so when God is talking about mansions and his glorious land, we can look at it like mansions. We can, it's interesting to look at it that way. But the real mansion that we're going to be living in is the resurrected body. See, Jesus came and he died. This is Resurrection Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And he died and he resurrected to be able to help us to have a resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back with his glorified body. See, we're all going to get a glorified body one of these days. It's going to be a body that is not subject to the same rules that we face here on earth. Because when Jesus came back, he appeared and disappeared.
Yeah.
He went through walls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did a lot of things. And probably many, many, many more things that were not even recorded.
Yeah.
This body was different.
Mm-hmm.
It was different. And we're going to have that. We've heard all through our lives that there's not going to be any sorrow over there, and there's not going to be any tears and all these things, that all the sorrows are going to be wiped away. Can you imagine a utopia like that? A place where there's only positive thoughts.
Wow.
Where there aren't any negative ones. And you and I both know that there are negative thoughts and things that come to us on a daily basis.
Yes.
Just imagine if none of those were there. And it was all just positive thoughts and things that came to our mind. There was never anything on the negative side. See, there won't be negative there. It will all be positive. This is God's kingdom. This is where he lives. This is the place that he occupies. This is the place that he has for himself. And that he wants to take us to. And he's giving us this body, that when this body dissolves, this new body, this resurrected body, is going to have the capacity to enjoy all that is there. All of it. We couldn't enjoy it right now. In this earthly body, it would be too much for us.
I believe that.
You remember when they came to get Jesus in the garden? And they were asking him, are you Jesus, or are you the one that are this, that, or whatever? And he said, I am. And do you remember what happened to all the people?
Yeah.
They fell down.
Yeah.
Because I am, that's God's name. I am. And he said his name. And they fell down. Because their bodies could not comprehend or exist in the same space as the great God, I am. And it was manifested that way. These human bodies couldn't understand or get a hold of or be able to thoroughly enjoy all. But we're going to have a resurrected body, a different body, a body that is made in a way that can thoroughly enjoy everything that is there to the fullest. It won't be that I get to enjoy this much and you get to enjoy that much, and there'll be people that have more and this and that. No, no. You're going to have the capacity to enjoy it all. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. See, that's our lively hope. We're looking at something way better than what we have here. And when we're living for God, it's pretty good here. So it's hard almost to even imagine that it can be more at the end of our life. It can be more than what it was. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. John. No, not John. 1 Corinthians 15. 19 through 24. 1 Corinthians 15. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. That's a pretty strong statement. If all we had to look forward to is what we have right here on this earth, if the hope of Christ and all we had was just what we experience right now with Christ, we would be most miserable. Why? Because we cannot enjoy the fullness of spiritual things, the fullness of what God is and who He is and all. We cannot experience the fullness because we're still in these bodies. We're still in this world. We can't understand or even come to it. We'd be most miserable if this was all there was, and we just say, oh yes, you know, come and be saved and everything, and God will change your life, and it's a wonderful, wonderful life, and then you die. See, that isn't our lively hope. Our lively hope expands beyond there, beyond the grave. It expands for an eternity. God is eternal. He has always been eternal. We can understand it because He set up the earth to be governed by time and seasons. It's not eternal. And our lives here on earth, these fleshly bodies, are not eternal. But the soul He breathed into us, that life that came into us, that He created, that's eternal. It has to go somewhere. It doesn't die with the clay that it's been put inside of and housed. It doesn't die with that. It goes on for eternity. Whether we want to live for the Lord or not, it's going to go on. And of course, we know that there's also an eternal place for souls that do not want to be with God. And how do we decide that? We decide here. We decide on earth. But we have a lively hope of something that's better, that's coming. It says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. He's become the first fruits. He's the first one with the glorified body. See, He's the first one. We're all going to get one. All of the souls down through the history of time that have died trusting the Lord and living to His commandments in their age and in their time, they don't have a glorified body yet. They don't have a resurrected body yet. They are spirits that are living in paradise. They're living in paradise waiting for the day that it all comes to an end. Now, you know that paradise has got to be a wonderful place. It's got to be very wonderful also. Jesus told the thief on the day that he died, He says, today you'll be with me in paradise. Why? Because it was going to be a disembodied spirit. It's not going to have a body anymore. It's just a spirit. This is a place, a waiting place for the spirits to receive their resurrected body. There are millions and millions of souls in paradise waiting for resurrection. Waiting for that. And we know that wherever God will go, when Jesus said, I'm going there, and he was going to be there for the 3 days or whatever before he resurrected. You know it's a good place. If God wants to go there, right. If God himself, Jesus, the Son of God, if he went there,
yes.
And he went, and can you imagine? Can you imagine what it was like in paradise that day? Can you imagine when Jesus came?
Right.
When he came into paradise that day,
yes.
What a wonderful thing. Because they see there were prophets there,
right.
And there were all those there that had said,
right.
You know, he's coming, he's coming. The Messiah has come. And then there's others that had died and gone, and they said, he's there.
Right.
He's there right now. He's down there. He's doing what you all have talked about,
yes.
And what you prophesied about. He's there right now.
Wow.
And then all of a sudden, Jesus comes to paradise that day. What a wonderful thing happened.
Yes. Wow.
Then he came back. First fruits. Nobody else has left paradise to come back.
Wow.
First fruits. He came back in a glorified body. There have been those that have been raised from the dead, but they came back into their old body. They didn't get a resurrected body.
Right.
He's the first fruits that came out of paradise, came down to this earth, and received his glorified body.
Yes.
Now, this body, it wasn't made for earth. It wasn't made for earth. It defied all of the rules of nature and earth,
yes.
And science and everything while he was here. It defied everything. It was made for that glorious kingdom that he was going to go to. And you remember what he said. You know, when he was standing there for his disciples, he says, I'm coming back.
Oh, yes, he did.
So, it says here, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. See, Jesus came down, took on the form of flesh, in the form of a man, that he might be the first fruits and show the resurrection of the dead and what it was going to be like. For as in Adam all die, Adam plunged the world into sin,
mm-hmm.
And so in Christ shall all be made alive.
Lord.
But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. When he comes back is when we're going to get that glorified body. At his coming is when we're going to get it. He was the first fruit of the glorified body, but we're going to get it when he comes back. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. In other words, when he will put down all of his authority of being the Savior, because there will be no others to be saved at that point. That will be the last day, is the last day to be able to make a decision. And then he's going to give up that office of the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And he's going to return back to the Father. And he's going to bring the whole kingdom that he went down there to save with him. What a glorious, glorious day that will be. Ephesians 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, our hearts yearn for spiritual blessings.
Yeah.
It's our very being is made to receive of the spiritual. It's made to receive the infillings of the spiritual things in life, the infilling of the Holy Spirit of God, the infilling of God's wisdom and knowledge and his love and all the things that are in the word that talks about that God is, we are made to be able to experience all those things. But here on earth, we're somewhat limited on what we can experience. But we're made for spiritual blessing. And he said, he had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All of us that have been saved, we can talk about the heavenly places, can't we? Aren't there times? Oh, there's hard times. There's things that we have to go through. But there are some times when heaven comes down. When it just fills you. It's just glorious. It's just beyond what you can contain. You either rise up and are joyful or you bow down in tears. It's just more than the human body can take. And we get those spiritual blessings. And we get the other spiritual blessings. The ones that are meant for mankind. The ones that God meant for us to have. The indwelling of the Spirit. The knowledge imparted to us about who He is and all. And our questions answered. This spiritual side of life. To where we begin to live more in the spiritual than we do in the physical. The physical begins to fade away. It doesn't have very much draw anymore. Yes. It's the spiritual things that do. And people that have not tasted and have not gone there, they don't understand that yet. They haven't experienced it. Yeah. But it is a wonderful, wonderful experience. 1 Corinthians 2:7-10. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Right.
None of the princes of this world. It's talking about all of the sinful men. It's talking about the evil spirits, Satan himself. Had they known?
Right.
Had they known that he needed to die? Had they known that he was the lamb shed from the foundation of the world, that he was going to save people from their sins, he was going to change their lives, he was going to turn things upside down, he was going to make it hard for the enemy to torment souls and to take them down in sin.
Yes.
Had they known,
right,
they would have fought for his life.
Oh, yes.
They wouldn't have let him die, but they didn't know. It was wisdom and understanding that was withheld from them. They did not know. And because they did not know, they followed the plan that God had laid down from the foundation of the world, that Jesus would come and save those that were lost. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But, next scripture says, but, it says, your eye hasn't seen, your ear hasn't heard, hasn't entered into your heart the things which God has prepared for us that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. And the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. It says, I have not seen. I don't know about you, but there's lots of things in this world that I haven't seen. I have not seen. I have seen pictures. I have read stories. But I have not seen it. There's many things that I haven't heard. All of the wisdom and all the different things that have been propagated down. I don't understand all those things. I can't get a hold of it. Neither have entered into the heart of man. Can't even imagine it. The things which God has prepared for them that love him.
Yeah.
In heaven, you cannot imagine what is there. The Bible tries to use precious things to describe it. It tries to use mansions, and we understand that.
Uh-huh.
It uses streets of gold. We understand gold and what that would probably look like. We understand that when it talks about the precious stones and the jasper and all of these things and all of the things that he has prepared. And he takes all of the precious things that we count valuable here and tries to describe heaven for us in a physical way. But it's not enough. It's not enough. He uses that because when he created this earth, all the intricacies that he put into it, all of the things, all of the... Does anybody here know all of the animals' names on the earth? Does anybody know all the insects? Can you name all the birds? Can you name every ocean? Be a little harder, huh, if you've been out of school for a while. Can you name everything in the ocean? Can you name all the trees? Can you name all the weeds? Can you name all the grasses? Can you name all the flowers? Do you see how big God made this?
Amen.
That one person cannot possibly obtain all and understand all that he has made.
Right.
But any given people in any given place understands their little area. They understand the good things that are in their area and the bad things in their area. They know the things to stay away from and the things that they can enjoy freely. Mm-hmm. But nobody knows it all. Mm-hmm. If he made this world in that kind of detail, what is his home like?
Right.
Because he patterned the world after something. You see what I'm saying? He used his mind. He patterned it after something. He has a glorious home. We can't even imagine what it is going to be like. But we will have all of eternity to explore and see and know and understand and all of it.
Yes,
all of it. We can't even do that here.
That's true.
He's going to burn this place up.
Yes.
If he put that much detail into here, that he's, for our enjoyment, you know, all these things are for our enjoyment. Mm-hmm. And for us to live with and see and wonder at and marvel at. Uh-huh. And we're supposed to be able to see the greatness of God in it. Uh-huh. But instead, man has said, oh, no. They have said, oh, no, there's no higher being that has done all of this. You know, it happened from a big bang, and there was things that flew together and made things.
Hmm. No.
I remember one of the brothers back in Monarch, he's a mechanic, and he said, that theory, he said, is about as foolish as if I have all the parts for a transmission, and it just makes itself.
Right.
I don't have to do a thing, it just makes itself. He says, that won't happen. Those parts aren't gonna fly together.
No.
They're not gonna make each of their individual parts and then put them all together and everything. All of the molecules and things that are inside those parts, yes, but those are all borrowed from God.
Right.
All the metals and all that's all borrowed from God. It can't put itself together.
No.
The universe didn't put itself together.
No, it did.
God created it.
Amen.
He created all of it.
Yes.
All right. Now, this eye hath not seen or ear heard, entered into the heart of man, things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That extends to here. It starts here. Before we ever get off to heaven and see all of that, it starts here.
That's true.
You cannot imagine what God can do in our hearts and our lives if you have not tasted him and seen that he is good. You can hear with your ear some things that people say, but you will experience the Spirit of God living in your heart and life directing you. Until you experience that, you can't understand. And even then, he is not going to be able to bring all knowledge to you. But you will understand more. You can't even imagine the good things that God has for every one of us. And all of us, the longer we live, do you understand it better? The longer you live, do you see more of it? The longer that you are saved, do you experience more of the joys of God, the joys of heaven, the lively hope springing up in you, the glorious outpouring of the Spirit to our spirit, and the glorious way that our spirit interacts with God. Our spirit does not interact with anyone else like it does with God. It is made to interact with God. Without God, it's not a good place. It doesn't help us. But when it gets connected to God and that spirit in us interacts with God, oh, you can't imagine all of the things that you are going to experience. Up until the day that you leave this earth, you will still be experiencing new, glorious enlightenments that you didn't know existed before. It is a growing. It is a wonderful place. It is a place you can't even imagine what all of this is going to mean in the end.
Yeah.
It's impossible. But God has revealed it.
Yeah.
Oh, we feel it. We understand it. That jumping up inside of us, that jumping up for joy inside of our spirit. Oh, to experience that is such a wonderful thing. 1 Thessalonians 4, 14 through 18. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So, Jesus died, he rose again for us. He was the first fruits put on the spiritual body, the glorified body. All of those waiting in paradise, when he comes back, he's bringing them with him. He's bringing all those spirits. He's bringing them with him. I don't know how it'll happen, but the one place in the scriptures it says that we will be changed in a twinkling of an eye. It might even say it here, I'm not sure. Changed in a twinkling of an eye. I think that's what happens with all the spirits that are waiting there in paradise. All of a sudden, they are changed with a twinkling of an eye, and they have on their glorified bodies. And Jesus is bringing them with him. He is not going to be just by himself in the heavens. There is going to be a great multitude that we are going to see and not see the end of. It's going to be a multitude. And it says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. We're not going to prevent them. We're still going to be alive, but it isn't going to prevent anything. Those that have passed on, their future is secure. If they died in the Lord, their future is secure. He's bringing them with him. They're going to have a resurrected body, a glorified body. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. See, they're the first ones going to be raised from the dead. They're the first ones that are going to have the glorified body, those that have already died. They're first in line. We're still on here on the earth in our clay,
right.
Our tabernacle, that's going to be dissolved. You know, that day is going to be quite a day. There is going to be the sounds when Jesus comes. It's going to be something that everybody is going to understand what is happening.
Yes.
They may not have the exact words for it, they're going to know something big is happening. There's going to be a shout. something that goes over everything else and all the noise in the world.
Yes, I believe that.
There's going to be this shout. And then the voice of the archangel. I don't know if they'll be singing, if they'll be reading scripture. I don't know if they'll just be saying glory and honor, praising God to the King. I don't know what, but we're going to hear it.
Amen.
And with the trump of God, there is going to be a trumpet sound. It is going to be a sound like we've never heard.
Amen.
And when it hits, everybody is going to immediately go,
yes.
It's going to be so different.
Yes.
It's going to be immediately understood. See, the Spirit.
Yes. Yes.
See, this is a spiritual happening that's happening. Mm-hmm. When Jesus comes back, it's in the Spirit. The Spirit and all the Spirit inside of everyone on earth is going to jump.
Yes.
It's going to be awakened. Some of them awaken to, oh no, and want the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. But others are just going to be glad and glorious and just rise up.
Oh, wow.
Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? We'll be there forever then. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. See, that's our life of hope.
Yeah.
See, we're going someplace.
Yeah.
This isn't all in vain.
No.
There's a lot of people out there saying, what are you throwing away your world on that for and on religion? And why are you restricting yourself? And why are you this and why are you that? Because I have a lively hope of what is ahead of me. Yeah. It's alive in me. I can feel it in me. My spirit is refreshed. My spirit is moved. The spiritual part of me is connected to my spiritual God, and I understand spiritual things.
Amen.
And I know in my spirit, on the inside, you can't describe it to people. You can do your best, but it's almost indescribable.
Yeah.
They have to experience it to understand what is there. What brings the peace and the satisfaction, what brings you through all the trials and tests of life, what helps you to go through grief and suffering, because we're going to face these things. Why? Because we're in a sinful world.
Yeah.
And a sinful world can bring forth nothing but death and destruction. That's why. It's not God's kingdom. It's this worldly, sinful kingdom now. But God's kingdom isn't going to be like that. We're going to be able to have everything we need supplied to us at all times. This is a wonderful, wonderful thing. This is a lively hope. We are comforted knowing that not only do we have the Spirit, the access to all spiritual blessings right here, and that we haven't even plumbed the depth of those yet, but there are all the spiritual blessings awaiting us in God's home.
Amen.
He's invited us to live with Him, dear ones.
Yeah.
He's invited us to come and live with Him and enjoy the spiritual things, the things that He has prepared for us.
Yeah.
He's prepared it for us. He wants us there.
Yeah.
He's prepared great, great things. And that's our lively hope. On Resurrection Day, because Jesus rose from the dead, we have a lively hope.
Amen.
We are experiencing a little bit of heaven now, the Spirit moving within us.
Yes.
The Spirit moved in the Old Testament on a person here and a person there and a situation here or there, different places like that. But now we get to experience the indwelling of the Spirit every single day. There aren't any breaks.
Yes.
We get to experience it every day.
Thank the Lord.
A little bit of heaven.
Yes.
And because of that, we know that place coming,
yes,
that's our lively hope. We live every day a lively hope because we're going to have that kingdom. We've been invited, and we're going to go.
Amen.
Amen.